Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, which you'll find on page 932 of the Church Bibles. The Mountain of the Lord. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. For the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading can be found on page 1215 of the Church Bibles. Submit yourselves to God. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is the word of the Lord.
Of those massive graves in France and in other places as well. I visited the cemetery at Omaha a few years ago, and I thought I was prepared for the scale of it. I kind of had studied history of the Second World War and the First World War, and I thought I was ready for how big it would be, but nothing really prepares you for the scale of loss, the scale of death, the scale of injury that took place on these battlefields. And sometimes it's easy for us to forget that on both sides of any battle, there were people who had so much in common. I came across this story this week. This is from a magazine that I was reading. And it's a story about a battle, First World War battle. And someone's relating their experience of it. And it just reflects that whole idea of young people facing conflict who have got so much in common. Listen to this. The battle was in progress and our trenches were being raked by the enemy's fire. We were expecting to be told that the German guns would have to be silenced, and presently along the line came the order to charge. We assembled into the open and rushed forward, met by a perfect hail of bullets. Many of our men bit the dust, but we who remained came to grips with the enemy. I cannot write of what happened then. The killing of men is a ghastly business. On the way back to the trenches, I saw a poor German soldier trying to get to his water bottle. He was in a fearful condition. I knelt down by his side. Finding his own water bottle was empty, I gave him water from mine. Somewhat revived, he opened his eyes and saw my Salvation Army Leaguer's button. His drawn face lit up with a smile, and he whispered in broken English, "Salvation Army, I also am a Salvation soldier." Then he felt for his army badge. It was still pinned to his coat, though bespattered with blood. I think we both shed a few tears. And then I picked up his poor, broken body, and with as much tenderness as possible, for the terrible hail of death was beginning again, I carried him to the ambulance. But he was beyond human aid. When I placed him on the wagon, he gave a gentle tug on my coat. Thinking he wanted to say something, I bent low and listened, and he whispered, "Jesus, safe with Jesus." Our readings this morning remind us of what will be in the end of all things. That reading from Micah reminds us of that. But our second reading also reminds us of the roots of conflict. Various roots are given. If you open up James chapter 4, if there's a Bible in the seat in front of you, you can see it for yourself, page 1215, if you want to follow with me just for a few moments. The causes of conflict, all conflict, are really there for all to see. First of all, verse 1, desire, what we want, what we need. The Second World War, it was Lebensraum, living room for a nation that led to war. Similarly, in the Far East, when the war, World War II, actually began in 1936, 1937 with the Japanese invasion of China and the terrible things that happened there. Room to live, room to expand. Verse 3 tells us something else that might cause conflict, materialism. Wanting more, needing more, looking for more. You may get, you may spend what you get on your pleasures. A third reason is given, worldliness. That's all there is, just the world. This is all there is, just the world. There is nothing more. There is no God. There is nothing to believe in. Where would our morality come from? It's no coincidence that the greatest losses of life, the cause of the greatest losses of life in the 20th century came from empires, nations, whose belief in God was non-existent. Worldliness destroys, a flirting with the world, a desire for the world and all that is, with no reference to God or the things of God, can lead only to death. And yet, in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all that the writer of the letter of James says, he points to a great and profound truth, that there is, in fact, a God. Verse 5, or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he, God, caused to live in us envies intensely, but he gives more grace? The idea is this: there is a God, and that God longs for us. That's the sense of the meaning of these words. God longs for humanity to walk in relationship with him. You see, when we do that, when we truly seek the face of God, we're far less likely to embark on the way of war. We've had conflict in our house this week. I have my red poppy on. My wife, she wears a white poppy. And it's not that we disagree with one another, far from it. The red poppy helps us remember all those who have given their lives. The white poppy reminds us that this is a day to long for that which God longs for us. That is peace. We need that even more than ever as we face that possibility of conflict in different places around the world. How we should long and pray for peace and act for peace. You see, the writer of James tells us how we might go about that. If God longs for us, what do we do to bring healing in the face of conflict? He talks about various things. Humble oneself. Humble yourself before God, he says in verses 6 and 10. It's repeated twice in this passage. Humble yourself. Bow the knee. You know, taking the knee has become a phenomenon in North America, an objection to things. But actually, bowing the knee is a sense, is a symbol that there is something greater than us. Bow the knee to God. Humble oneself. Submit to God. Resist. You know, I love the fact that during World War II, people who were facing the oppression, facing the fact that their nations had been dominated by another, offered resistance. The writer of James says, resist the devil. The devil is out to cause as much strife as he can. Resist the devil. Submit to God. Resist the devil and turn to him. Draw near to God. And what do we learn when we draw near to God? God draws near to us. A few weeks' time, we begin the Christmas period. I think the Christmas period for the shops began at the end of September. For followers of Jesus, we don't really get going at least until Advent. But in a few weeks' time, we will begin to think towards Christmas. And we'll begin to think about that and think about God drawing near to us in the person of Jesus. Jesus, who gave himself on the cross for the life of the world, for the sins of the world, so that we might have life and life in all its fullness, as John chapter 10, verse 10 tells us. There's also something else in here that maybe we need to take cognizance of this morning. You see what it says in verses 8 and 9? That wonderful verse, come near to God, he'll come near to you. But notice this. The writer says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. You know, today in many ways is a somber day, and that's right that it should be as we remember all those that we have lost, all those who have died in conflict, both 100 years ago in the First Great War, in the Second World War, and other conflicts since then, but also all around the world. It's right that we should be somber about that. But we should also be somber about our own sins. It's kind of unconventional and unacceptable and slightly awkward and painful to acknowledge that all of us have got it wrong. All of us are capable of being warring men and women. The writer of James says, get on your knees. Turn away from the past, turn back to God. And notice this, and with this we end. Do you see what it says at the very end? When we humble ourselves before God, as we draw near to him, what does God do to us? He doesn't keep us down there. He doesn't say, stay on your knees before me. Be humble, crawl around. His love for us is so great that his desire is that as we lift him up, as we glorify him, he lifts us up. I believe that he does that for us as individuals, but he'll do that for nations as well. Nations that humble themselves before Almighty God will be lifted up and will know his peace and his blessing. Surely that could be our prayer for the nations this morning. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, safe with Jesus. Lord God, help us to turn to you, to resist the evil one, to stand with those who are suffering as a result of war, wars either in the past or indeed in the present, those who have fled war in our world and are seeking refuge. Humble us before you, so that we might be lifted up. We thank you that your love for us is so very great. You long for us. You long for us to turn to you. Thank you, Lord, for that great love. We pray for the nations and for our nation in particular this morning. May the leaders of our nation desire only peace, go out of their way to seek it, to build communities of peace. And may you use our nation as a model for other nations around the world. And this we ask in the name of our glorious King, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.